Hello, my name is Graham Totomer. I'm wine producer in Santa Barbara County. I specialize in dry Riesling and Grüneveltliner. You can find my wines online at totomerwines.com.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
Graham Totomer is a perfect example of a teenager taking a job, and lo and behold, along the way, it turns into a passion. He was working in wineries at Santa Barbara County and decided that wine was going to be his future, making wine. And he particularly, am so 100% with him, and this really is kind of like a preference, a personal preference for wines, liking wines from cool climate, in large part because of the acidity, the bracing acidity. So his passion has become Riesling and dry, bone dry Riesling. Not only that, but then he took off to Austria of all places and studied winemaking. Riesling originally was his goal, but learned about Grüneveltliner. Graham Totomer, we thank you so very much for joining us today on Wine and Dine. And you are very unique in that, you know, everybody in California, most everybody in California finishes their Riesling with a good dollop of sweetness, but you say no, no, no.
Yeah, thanks for having me here today, Lynn. Yeah, I prefer the dry style, and I think the sweet style, even just semi-sweet style, is quite difficult to actually pull off. I think that's a really kind of complex style of wine.
The off-dry or the dry?
The off-dry is... they're both difficult, but I think off-dry wines, you know, that's rooted in having too much.
You know, that's one of the, they have to have the sugar because they're...
To balance, to teeter-totter balance with the acidity.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, of all places, why did you decide you wanted to go to Austria? Why not Germany? Why was, or Alsace for that matter, why was Austria your goal?
Well, it was really, I'd started by... kind of pursuing the dry regions of the time from Alsace, which, as many of us know, aren't actually that dry. And I had a limited exposure to German Riesling as a child. My father had collected, you know, some of the great German Rieslings, mostly from the Mosel.
Okay.
Those were quite sweet. But I really was drawn to Alsace, and then a sommelier in Santa Barbara just turned me on one day to Austrian Riesling. And, and something about it just, it was like the signal, the light went off, and it was like, this is my thing. I mean, since I've found that, you know, there are many dry German Rieslings that are similar in style to Austrian,
yeah.
Like the tannic, kind of firmer style of Riesling. But at the time, I did not know about them, you know.
And so when you left for Austria, did you have a game plan in mind? Did you know where you wanted to head to? Did you have a job set up to work harvest? Or did you just show up over there on somebody's doorstep and say, please employ me?
No, yeah, I was fortunate enough to already have a job lined up.
Okay.
I was able to, you know, at the time, the company Vindovino, owned by Seth Allen, he kind of had a strong grasp on kind of the Austrian or the Wachau elite producers, and
okay.
He was touring them in the United States, and I kind of snuck into a tasting and was able to just go and ask Emmerich Knoll, like talk to many producers, and then end up asking Emmerich Knoll, who was on my list of people to ask if I could work harvest, and he was there, and he said yes, and it kind of went from there.
Did you stay at his house, or did you have to look for a room? What were your overnight accommodation? I'm just curious because other people listening might use your story as a motivation to do that themselves.
Sure. I think, I was able to stay at their home. You know,
okay.
This is 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And things have changed a little bit, but I know, like, that family and many of the other producers in the Wachau, like, they're very good about providing accommodations for workers. You know, in the wine schools of Austria and Germany, the students have to do something like 2 years practical training. They have to do 2 years worth of internships. So these wineries are all, you know, are always have kind of students going to work there for 3 months
okay.
or 6 months. And I mean, these are kids. Like, these kids can't really get apartments.
Right.
You know? So
right.
So there's kind of, I don't know if it's a system.
It's a culture also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's more of a culture. So it's definitely possible to, it's quite possible to just go over there, and finding the combinations is relatively easy.
You know, this time of year, if somebody wanted to take off and look for a job, they would be doing winter pruning in the vineyards.
Yeah, I mean, right now, you know, and you know, they prune quite late over there because
the winter's so severe.
There's still snow. Yeah.
Okay.
So you know, the bud break is pretty late. Like, when I worked there in the winter of 2004, at this time, we were just doing wall work. You know, you just kind of repair the terraces.
Oh,
that's about
wow.
the only thing you can do.
Graham, did you ever consider for a moment not coming back but staying in Austria?
Certainly. Yeah. The last harvest I went over there, 2006, I went over there with the idea of, can I make this, can I move here? You know, is that kind of a reality? You know, I don't speak German. I mean, I can communicate on vineyard work or in a restaurant, kind of how to get around. Like, you know, I don't know what the casual person is saying. And that was something that kept me away, you know, and the fact that, you know, my family is pretty much all in California, but certainly I considered moving there.
Where are you based out of with Tatomer Wines?
Well, it's pretty much all in Santa Barbara County.
Okay.
And I'm kind of in this region called Los Alamos and Lompoc, kind of close to Vandenberg Air Force Base.
Now, right now, correct me if I'm wrong, are you all sold out of wines right now? Or do you still have some Riesling available for sale?
I'm completely sold out of Grüner Veltliner at the moment.
Okay.
And I have Riesling for sale, but low until we switch into the next vintage.
Okay, so you are growing, you're using Riesling from, what I was reading, two different vineyards, is it?
I have four, I make four different Rieslings.
Oh, four,
okay. off of three different vineyards.
Okay. And then the Grüner Veltliner, as you say, right now you're sold out of. And I kind of got the feeling, reading between the lines, that you are even open to exploring other possible sites or other possible varieties. Are you really sticking with Riesling and Grüner Veltliner?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely open. At this point, you know, I'm kind of actively looking for a new site for Riesling.
Okay.
With a different soil structure. You know, I really love the three sites I work with, but at this point, you know, I'm looking for just kind of a dramatic soil change, and then it just has to be cool enough. Grüner Veltliner, you know, I'm working with two sites, and now a third is coming online. I feel pretty comfortable with that right now, you know, but, you know, it's kind of...
Well, Riesling was your first love, and aren't you also fortunate enough to be working with 40-year-old Riesling vines?
Yes, yeah, a couple of my sites. There's Sisquoc in Santa Maria that was planted in 1968, and Lafon Vineyard in Santa Rita Hills was planted in 1972.
So what do those wines taste like or smell like that are from vines that are that old, and I would imagine you get pretty low yields?
Yeah, definitely the yield thing is kind of an issue. I feel really fortunate that I even have access to those grapes.
Yeah.
The vineyard owners, they make wines themselves.
Well, it's amazing they didn't rip it out or graft it over to another variety.
Well, originally Santa Barbara County, there was quite a bit of Riesling planted. They thought it would do well here, but, you know, it's difficult to grow, especially with the marine layer that helps keep this region cool. You get a lot of rot, and so slowly but surely over the, you know, 40 years, things got grafted over to Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, mostly for...
Yeah.
Profitability and ease of growth. Not like those things are super easy to grow either. I mean, those are great grapes. So those two vineyards that I have are kind of the last ones standing in a way.
Take pictures and put them up on your website for us.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Okay, so as a final note here, how I was introduced to you is as a participant of the 9th Annual International Alsace Varietals Festival. So you're going to be up in Anderson Valley on February 8th and 9th. But in the meantime, tell listeners your website address if they are not going to be up there, and how they can get up with you and learn more about putting your wines on their wine list or for their own personal consumption.
Certainly. Yeah. Well, my website is www.tatomerwines.com. And there's a little like newsletter box at the bottom that you can click to get my emails, which I'm pretty delinquent on. I only send about one or two a year, but I'm trying to get better on that. So, you know, I'll let people know when the next release of Grunewaldliner is, when the next release of Riesling is, and,
okay.
You know, wholesale-wise, you know, I guess you just have to ask.
Okay, and then are you on Twitter and Facebook?
I'm on Twitter as Tatomer Wine. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Graham Tatomer, we thank you so very much for your time and joining us this week on Wine and Dine.
Thanks so much, Lynn.
We will have links up for you to learn more. Dreaming of 40-year-old Riesling. Yummy.
You're listening to iWine Radio.
Hello, my name is Willy Klinger. I'm the Managing Director of the Austrian Wine Marketing Board. If you ever want to learn more about artisanal wines produced from small family businesses, come to see our website, winesfromaustria.com. You will learn more about unique wines from this beautiful country of Austria.